our TSN hockey analyst Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Could you imagine that happening, Ray, in the city of Vancouver? And if so, how would people in Vancouver react?
The people in Vancouver lose their minds because we have a Hockey Night in Canada game at 4 in the afternoon when the Leafs come here.
Right.
It's once a year. Like, it's one time. It's 4 o'clock. Like,
Ray, you played for the Rangers. Would they ever light the Empire State Building the color of the Devils uniform?
I thought, I mean, not living there, I was like, what the hell is that?
Crazy.
Like, who thought of that?
Dude, it's just
this,
so
this thing of this thing about Canada's team, people in Vancouver don't ever cheer for Calgary. They cheer for Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
The people in Edmonton don't cheer for Winnipeg. They cheer for Edmonton. Like, I don't know. It's your city. It's like, Some Sharpie decided that was a great idea yesterday. I don't know.
And if you're the Habs, you should run with this. Like, this is why you hire someone to run your social media account. This is why. I'm not saying Bergevin should care or Dominique Ducharme should come out with a statement.
Right.
But if you run a social media account, this is absolutely perfect for you because you own the city of Toronto.
The landmark is
colored in your colors.
I can see the tweet before the first game they play each other next year. All you Habs fans in Montreal ready to rock, or all you Habs fans in Toronto ready to rock.
Yep.
Picture of the CN Tower.
It's coming, man.
What if the guys start doing their Zoom calls and they got hoodies on with the CN Tower or the picture?
They should. A great troll job.
You know what I mean? Like, they come out and they're like, they've got the CN Tower as like a picture on the front of their hoodie, lit up in Habs colors. Like, it would actually be hilarious.
It'd be very smart marketing.
Like, it's a PR freebie.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. And like, the Habs, I think, already have the Stanley Cup mascot, and it's Bergevin with the hair and the suits. Like, his hair is so glorious right now, and he wears the loudest suits in the game. Like, he's got the red suit, and he's jacked, and he looks good, and he feels good, and his team's winning. Like, he is the mascot of good times in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. Feels that way.
Well, I mean, he might be next to Carey Price. He might be the most noticeable or prominent figure with the Canadiens. Maybe Shea Weber. But it's not Phil Deneau eating pizza or...
No.
You know, like, it's not like a star-laden group. So, you know, Bergevin is kind of front and center, whether he wants to be or not. And each time he pops on that red suit, I mean, you're going to get noticed. That's for sure.
It is something else. Like, you have some aggressive suits, and you can pull them off. Like, that red suit by Berge, and you're right. Like, he's jacked. He's put together. He always has been. Like, Ray, did you play with him? I played with him for 4 years.
Yeah, tail end of my career in St. Louis, the last couple of months, right?
Yeah, he's as built as anybody I've ever played with.
And, but Noodles, if me or you tried to wear O suits, like, we'd look we'd look like knuckleheads. Like, they don't fit our personality, but they fit you, O. Like, that's what you do with Burge. If I tried to wear Burge's suits, I'd look like a clown.
Yeah.
No. You'd be like, what are you wearing?
Basic shades. That the three of us, we're the same way. I'm in the same boat, man. It's very simple. Because if you wear something crazy out of nowhere...
Dude, Hayes.
You can't do it.
You used to be Griffin.
Yeah.
You are a stud now. You got your hair dialed up. You fire on a fitted suit. I give it a try, and we'll debate whether it goes or not.
I'm all for a fitted suit and a good-looking suit. I'm just saying...
But he's saying if it's flowery, like, you know, like, there are certain looks that people can pull off. Craig Button can pull off anything.
Right.
Craig has a look.
You just got to stop. It's all about your attitude towards yourself. If you think you're a loser that had a casino in college, then you're not going to do it.
Right. Okay, what's your explanation for these other two bozos?
No, but
that, right now?
That's not the reason. They just like to keep it kind of cool. But you just got to believe it, man.
All right.
I don't know.
I think you need to start showing up, the loud suit, no tie, but have the shirt open, like, unbuttoned deep.
Mm-hmm. Chest
like
hair.
The deep V.
By the way, it's 2021. Can't we get rid of the whole tie on TV thing? Like all of us, the whole nine. Like that's just gas it. Wear a nice shirt, button up, whatever. Hayes, you look good right now. Noodles. Let's just get rid of the tie ordeal permanently.
You know what we need?
We want to wear it great.
Lewis Taylor. We need John Lewis Taylor.
Johnny Lewis.
That was gorgeous. That was gorgeous.
There's a guy, like John Lou is a trendsetter, man. He doesn't follow the trends. He makes the trends. He had a suit with a hood on. That's like 2023 Paris Fashion Week. Like that guy's years ahead of the rest of the world.
He's got a mustache.
How about this? How about this nickname for him? Lulander.
Yes. Lou Steele. I love it. Lou Lander.
Sweet
there.
Johnny Lou. I love him. Like he's so good. But like you're right. That suit was popping the other night. And he's we all know John. Like he's in good shape and it was tight and it just everything about that suit was
brilliant. The guy's
brilliant.
A stud. He's a stud.
All I could think about is I couldn't pull that off. Like just me personally. I would feel uncomfortable in it. Even though you guys know I like my Hugo Boss suit has sweatpants, and yeah. I like the stretchy stuff.
You're built for comfort. There's nothing wrong with
comfort.
That, Noodles.
That's all I want.
Nothing wrong with that. I like it, and I'm all for it. Ray, who would you put your money on to have a better chance of coming back and either pushing seven or winning the series? Would it be Colorado or Boston?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say Colorado because I think Boston's banged up a bit. Although there always seems to be points in the game where you're like, Boston's going to take this over. Right? Like, that's what I think anyway when I'm watching. And then they just can't seem to shake the Islanders. They're like a bug you can't kill. Like, they just never, ever go away. But, so I think the Islanders are going to win. If only because I don't think Boston's healthy. I do think Colorado's got a better game in them, but like that game turned so fast yesterday. Amazing. And all of a sudden, like Vegas was all over them again.
Yeah.
But I think Colorado can win. I do. But Vegas is better than I thought they were going to be. They've been terrific.
I liked Colorado's game last night. I thought they deserved a better fortune. Like, they missed a couple open nets. They had a crossbar. Like, Fleury was brilliant. But I said to Brian, we lost O at the starting the show for a little bit for tactical stuff. But I said to Brian, the series is exactly where it should be because I thought Grubauer stole game two. So that should have been 1-1 there. But I thought Colorado deserved a better fate last night.
Mm-hmm. Like, Noodles, you know, let me ask you this, and Ray, you can comment too because you guys watched him in Ottawa between the benches for a lot of years. Is Stone getting the appropriate amount of flowers right now on this stage for people to finally figure out who this guy is and how good he is?
Probably not. Man, he's good, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of flow, man, he's got that thing.
Well,
he
might need the rebuild at some point. Like it's a really
I love the flow. He might need to fertilize up top a tiny bit in a few years.
That's what it is. He's got a little bit of the LeBron going at the top, but like I think he's a guy. The thing I loved about him, Ray, and I don't know if you noticed it. I'm sure you did. He is so competitive. Like, he stands on the bench, he's yelling, like this guy would come out of his skin to make a play out there. Like, he's, and everything is hard work for him. Like, going on a breakaway last night, that was hard work.
That was like Forrest Gump, like, breaking out of the knee braces. Like, he's like, I gotta get there.
I'll tell you what, though, it proves the point that Will, you need to pair it with skill. He's not the most graceful skater, and you're looking around the playoffs, and Mark Stone doesn't skate that well, and Braden Point's not that big, and Matthew Barzell's not that big. But you know what? They get it done. That's what's most important, Brian.
Okay. I agree
with you. Bold like your suit.
What a take.
The thing I remember about Mark Stone, the first time I saw him was at the junior tournament, and I'm like, he reminds me of Tim Kerr. Because he scored about 8 goals in the tournament, and they were all from dead in the slot. It was like nobody could move him out of there. And his skating was kind of like, I don't know. It was kind of like he was in a blender all the time. His elbows were going all over, and it just was an ugly stride. And then he got stronger, and he obviously worked at it. He may be not fast. He's not slow anymore.
Right.
And he combine it with he's got a big hockey brain. Like, he is smart on the ice. Like, he didn't get too far ahead of the play yesterday. Like, when he blocked the first shot and the second one went through, like, he still left the passing lane there for him to get the Pacioretty pass. And then he had enough to get ahead of Graves, and that was MacKinnon coming back on the other side. So it's not like he was, going against the tugboat out there. He had to get going, and his shot was awesome. Like, what a finish.
Yeah. Yep. Like, the one thing, too, if you look at it, is you talk about him being smart. Like, he always leads the league or is close to it in takeaways. Like, he reminds me of, like, we played with a guy named Pat Flatley. And Pat Flatley, he would go in the corner with five guys, and he'd come out with the puck. Like, this Flatley would be pushing on the back of a knee. It was pressure points, and it was slashing on the stick. Like, Stone is so competitive, and he reads the play so well, but he's got an unbelievable stick. He bats things out of the air. He turns pucks over. Like, you want to talk about details of the game. To me, that is a case study. You watch him, he is one of the most complete players out there.
And speaking of his stick, it is one of the ugliest sticks around.
His knob?
The curve is ugly. Like,
oh, the knob is like outrageous.
It's like a boat oar. It's awful. Except it works really good, and he gets paid $9.5 million, so it works really good.
Clearly it does. And I have to think he's a Team Canada guy next year, right? Like, if they they'll find a role for him. And you look around the playoffs, like, Theodore's going to be there. Petrangelo's going to be there. Fleury's going to be there in some capacity. He may not start, but he's going to be one of the three. Right. Stone's going, obviously. MacKinnon's going. McCarr's going. Stamkos is going. Point's going. Like, Marchand's going. Like, there's a lot of Canadians still playing and big boys. And yet McDavid's not there.
You mentioned all those names. It's going to get crowded in a hurry when they
big
start
time.
To pick that team. And there's going to be people sour that their guy's not on it. Because there's going to be some really, like every Olympics, I guess, there's going to be some really great players that probably deserve to be there, but there's just, like, where are you going to put them?
That's
like,
the truth.
Where do they fit, right?
Yep. That's the truth. It's so difficult. Like, you can get three lines, four or five defensemen, a couple of goalies quick. That'll be consensus across the country, right? Like, everyone will look at it and say, obviously, McDavid, MacKinnon, et cetera. But then you get to that next level where you're like, all right, I think Stone's going. But what does that mean for Ryan O'Reilly? Is he going to go?
Right.
Is, Couturier going to go?
Jamie
Benn? Here are your first three centers.
Right.
Well, here are your first three centers, McDavid, MacKinnon, and Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got one spot left.
Yeah.
Right. You know, guys
moving on
to the wing.
Wait a minute. We're going to put Patrice Bergeron on the wing with Crosby, and they're going to be your checking line.
Yeah.
Gee, that might work okay.
Exactly.
And let's put Marchand on the other side. Like,
right.
And that's technically, would that be your third line?
Right.
Well,
good stuff, man.
I think it will be. I think McDavid and MacKinnon might play together, which I think
that's scary.
Would be as electric as you could possibly get.
Yeah.
How'd you like to be the third guy on that line? Hey, fellas, wait up. I'm coming.
No kidding.
I'm going to catch up eventually.
No kidding.
Mark Stone just dialed in with those guys.
That'd be great if it's him. That's what's coming. Imagine if you're on the other side of it, if you're a defenseman, like world class, you're at the Olympics and you're like these two guys. Imagine a 2-on-1 where it turns up ice quickly and you can't keep up with either guy. Like, they blow past you into a 2-on-0. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of the game. A 2-on-1 turns into a 2-on-0 because the defenseman can't keep up.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened.
Oh,
it probably has.
Some of those guys back in the 80s with the big feet. And they just can't cross over.
They're trying so hard.
Joel Quenneville, he showed us. He used to talk about having an active stick and great stick in the lanes and that. And our video guy, Jamie Compound, found a video of Q defending in Hartford, and it was the Hall of Fame tape for Peter Stastny. And Stastny blew around Q like he was standing there handing him a ticket. And the boys went nuts. It was a pregame, like we were literally going out for the game after, and he showed this video of Q standing there waving at him with his stick, and the boys were yelling, "Great stick, Q, great stick." Like, but that's what it was like back then. Like,
yeah. Well, it still is with McDavid and McKinnon.
In practice, you would get around him, and he'd, because he couldn't, Joe couldn't turn. He wore those old Micron skates that squeaked when he walked out, like that. And so you'd get around him, and he'd put his stick between your elbow and your body, and he'd corkscrew, and all of a sudden you'd be in the corner. It was a hooking penalty every time.
There's one move that's worse, Ray. Brad McCrimmon patented. If he was getting beat on the outside, he would act like he was stumbling backwards and grab the butt, like grab his stick with the grip and flail it and chop your ankle and act like he was all confused. It was the turnaround on bumbling, stumbling, break your ankle move. It worked every time.
Yeah, yeah, that was the deal of those days. Man, there, you if you got a stride outside, you just knew the two-hand slash was coming. You just weren't sure when.
Don't embarrass
me. You must have pulled this move playing D, like the old butt end into the guy's midsection and ride him into the corner.
Listen, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than being a defenseman on a one-on-one drill or you're going wide, especially if the guy's getting a pass in motion. Because if you stop him, you're supposed to. But if you get burned, you look horrendous. Like, you look awful. So it is survival, and the four was just like, let me get a shot on, let me try to deke you, let me work on something. Then you get back in the line, see you later. The defenseman's always in a bad spot. And remember, we had Eric Stoll on a month or two ago whenever he got drafted. We mentioned him playing with Karkner up in Peterborough, and he told that story. He's like, I blew around Karkner as a rookie, and he shot a puck at my head and went up to me and said, don't ever do that again or I'll break your arm. And that's Eric Stoll, who was like a top five pick coming in, like stud. And he said, I learned my lesson quickly. I'm never going around that guy ever again in practice. Like, I'm not going to do it. And because Karkner was like, don't embarrass me out here. Like, I know you're a stud kid and all that, but I'm going to be fighting for you in a couple of nights, which he probably did. It's like, don't embarrass me. Dump and chase or shoot the puck. See you later.
You just mentioned something, the one-on-one at practice. So, you know, you had to let the guy, you know, we wanted – just keep me to the outside as the forward and let me shoot the puck. And Joel used to, about three or four times a day, someone would go out there and they think Joel's going to give him the outside to shoot. And right when he'd go to shoot, the lizard stick would come out and he'd just poke the puck away. And he'd start to laugh, right? And, man, it would be infuriating. He just wanted to clobber him. And he'd be like, oh, sorry about that, boy. Sorry about that. He'd just poke it right off your stick, right?
Oh, he
man,
is awesome.
It's just, like, practice would be, isn't that the best reality show? Like, I think, I've often wondered this as a fan. Like, if you were to propose different options, if you were to give a fan options to, you know, access to something, like you could either be in the green room on free agency day and you can see and hear everything, or you can be at the draft table for night one of the first round, or just out there for practice after, like, the Halloween party. When the boys are feeling it. Like,
just
what would
any
be the
time.
Most?
Can you imagine Rick in accounting if they just logged on to watch practice in Carolina, Rick Sisson and Stu Grimson, like, squared off at center ice in the middle of practice. Rick in accounting would put his coughing down and say, this is amazing.
This is the great. I will pay $89.99 a month.
Yes.
A week.
Yes.
A day.
Once a week, I want to see a fight in practice. I want to see great goals the whole night.
Coaches melting.
Oh, yeah. You have to be fully mic'd, though, because the comments, like, a goalie allows a goal. It's the little black thing there. Let it hit you. Like, guys just abusing you. Like, it's ruthless out there. Like, I do miss that. But some of the funny things in practice, like, you can't bring to the table because...
No, it's just not normal.
Yeah, it's not normal behavior. Not normal.
You guys remember Sean Donovan.
Oh, yeah, Chum.
Like, Chum was one of the fastest skaters I've ever played with. So we at practice in Atlanta, we had to do these, like, six-lap things for conditioning. So this is about, you know, as you're talking, we're standing there in our group in the corner. There's, like, five of us. And we're like, hey, Chum, don't be stupid here. Let's not be setting a world record. No, 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 no way, boys. We'll go all together. Four strides out, Chum's a half a lap in front of us. Like, he can't even slow down when he tries. And we're like just barking at him the whole time. He'd lap you. And you'd have to come back and just give it to him. And he'd be like, I was trying to go slow. What's wrong with you guys? Me and Andrew Brunette, we're like Donald Audette. We're like a half a lap behind him. I love that stuff. That was a big no-no, man.
Passing and showing up a veteran in a bag skating drill. Like, yep. Just an absolute no-no.
You cannot do it. And just little stuff like you guys experienced a million more practices than I did as pros, as adults, guys with kids at home where stuff would break out. I remember early on when I got to junior, some guy accidentally, I'm certain to this day it was an accident, like the coach whistled us in, everyone's coming in around the board or whatever for a scrum, and one guy was coming in too hot, and he was being an idiot. He was coming in too hot, and he ran into a vet and hit him from behind, and the vet got up and dropped the gloves and started fighting. Like, they started throwing bombs, and I'm like, what the hell is happening right now? Like, he came in too hot, yes, but I don't think he meant to bury you or what. And it was like, we have to fight now because you hit me from behind and I wasn't prepared for it. Teammates, like good buddies, full out brawl, and everyone's like, what are we supposed to do right now?
Dude, the worst practice in the history of hockey is Peter Carmanos bought the Hartford Whalers, and he came to watch us practice for the first time. And it was the morning of the Halloween party, the morning after.
Ay, ay, ay.
And we got thrown off the ice 12 minutes into practice, and that was Peter Carmanos in the stands, like the owner of the Cleveland Indians, saying, these are my boys.
What an investment. Yeah, get Lou Brown on the line right now. We're moving you to Miami.
I was terrified. I was terrified after that.
Getting thrown off the ice is the worst.
Like, that's bad, because usually guys can stick it out and cover up, but it was so bad. There was just a simple drill. Up to the blue, go across the blue, get a pass, and somebody went right through the boards and couldn't stop, and the whistle blew, and it was everybody get off. Off!
Yep.
One year we came out after the Halloween party. Guys are staggering out there, and we get out there finally. There's no pucks. Oh, we're like, no.
You're done.
So the coach, Jack Evans, stood on one blue line, and we had to go hard between the blue line just on that side. And so blue line to blue line. And I want to say we did it for 15 minutes in one direction. Then he blew the whistle, and he went and stood on the other blue line on the other side of the ice. There were guys trying to hide in the corner. You couldn't even move. Nobody could breathe. And it just stunk out there. It was brutal.
Awful, just sweating it out. No pucks. That is such a hockey term. No pucks. Yeah. You're like, this is not going to be fun at all. No one needs it. No one wants it. Well, we'll leave it there, buddy. Enjoy tonight. Game 6, Boston Islanders. It should be a fun one, and we'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Have a great one, guys. See ya.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check it out, MapleToyota.com.